Welcome to Church Online, a special welcome if you're with us for the first time, and to those watching from aged care homes. My name is Lynn, I'm the minister at Adelaide West, bringing you this service together with the Reverend Dr. Phil Carr, sharing the message today, and people in our community, leading us in worship. This weekend, we're taking part in the National Church Life Survey. The NCLS is an important survey in the life of our church and the Australian church at large. It listens to the views of our attenders and leadership to provide a picture of our own church's health and vitality, as well as contributing to the overall picture of the Australian church. Thousands of churches are participating. We'd love everyone who participates in Church Online to take part in this. The survey is completely anonymous and takes people 15 to 20 minutes. The attender survey web link is on the screen and the code to use is UA400001, also on the screen. We pray that this survey will inform our mission and ministry into the future and help us to be a place of acceptance, hope and transformation in Jesus. As mentioned in the last few weeks, in March we have a series which is also our Lent series. It's called Beyond Our Walls, Stepping Beyond Our Walls to be God's love in our everyday lives. Studies for connect groups or to use privately are available now on the private Facebook group and can be emailed to you. And if you would like to join a three-week group study online by Zoom or in person, please email me. As is our usual practice, we light a candle, and I encourage you to do the same at home. It's a visible reminder that Jesus is the light that shines through the clouds and transforms darkness into hope in our lives and in our world. Together we sing the well-known words of Psalm 23, "The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want."
Me down to lie here. Today's reading comes from Luke chapter 9, verses 28 to 36. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time what they had seen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Last year on Boxing Day, 90-year-old Archbishop Desmond Tutu died, ready and willing to meet God. Life had challenged him on so many fronts. He was raised knowing all about what it meant to be poor. As a teenager, he was quarantined for about 18 months with tuberculosis. He experienced firsthand South Africa's heinous apartheid regime, and he sat through the retelling of those harrowing times at the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. His health took another dive when he battled malignancy over many years. And yet, through it all, he remained faithful, forgiving, and as you probably realise, ever so happy. He wrote, "Hope is seeing light even in darkness." And that's the theme today, even in the darkness. You know, in my experience, churches are big on people living a productive and abundant life. But they're not so great with what they're to do when people fall faith first into one of life's many ditches, like a health crisis or broken relationship or money troubles. So no surprise then when a Christian experiences a dark time, they can feel the added embarrassment of being a spiritual failure on top of the pain of their actual predicament. C.S. Lewis, arguably the 20th century's foremost Christian thinker and spokesperson, experienced his dark times. The death of his beloved wife, Joy, privately plunged this champion defender of the faith into a whirlpool of despair. To try and survive, he wrote a little book about his travail. In it, he stated, "Where is God when your need is desperate? And what do you find? A door slammed in your face and a sound of double bolting on the inside, and after that, silence." He continued, "Not that I am in much danger of ceasing to believe in God, but the real danger is of coming to believe dreadful things about God." Alongside this darkness of despondency, Lewis didn't want his readers knowing that he was having these radical ideas about God, that he was questioning God's loving nature. So he published under a pseudonym, "A Grief Observed by N.M. Clarke." And here's the irony, Lewis's friends actually recommended Clarke's book to him to help with his sadness. Well, Lewis eventually found his way through that darkness and, while still grieving, continued contending for the credibility of Christianity. And in parentheses, only after his death was his authorship made public. Some of you may remember the name Johnny Erickson, who became quadriplegic after a diving accident when she was 17. Her life as a Christian has been one painful struggle after another. But from her wheelchair, she ministers to countless others through her music, her books, and her advocacy for people with disability. And for more than half a century. So here we have two different people with two things in common, at least. A love for Jesus of Nazareth and a faith that endured even in the darkness. So to today's Bible passage, the event happened up on a mountain. Reaching the top of the trail, disciples Peter, James, and John saw Jesus' demeanor change. Suddenly, he shone like the sun and his clothes turned a dazzling white. To add complexity to incredulity, they witnessed Moses and Elijah, prophetic luminaries from centuries long gone, gate crashing that rarefied scene to create, well, a transfigured trinity. Understandably, Peter, who knew more about mooring boats than mountain mysticism, blurted, "Rabbi, oh, this is just so good. Let's build three dwellings for you and your friends and stay here till kingdom comes." As usual, Peter was clueless. But no matter, God interrupted, first by enshrouding them in this dark cloud, and then by making the dramatic disclosure, "This is my beloved son, Jesus." You see, even in the darkness, God divulges life-changing truth. Well, when the mist eventually melted, Moses and Elijah had vanished, and Jesus was standing there calling time to rejoin the other disciples bunkered at the base of the mountain. Well, you've got to admit, it's quite a story. Yet after preaching for 50 years, I'm still hesitant to hitch on hiking boots and hobble up that homiletic hill. Because the whole event defies reason. I mean, a whiter than white Jesus meeting two giants of classical Judaism beamed in especially for the gleaming occasion. I mean, some people find this story so inexplicable that they believe it's best left stashed away in old Sunday school cupboards along with faded flannel graph figures. So you may be wondering if I think it's true and why I bother to raise it. Well, firstly, I do think it's true. I mean, it's true to life. It's true to human experience. It's true to my experience. However, if you asked, is it factual? I'd have to say, I don't know. And I've no pressing need to argue one way or the other. And secondly, I'm raising it because it highlights what is arguably the most significant reality in life, namely, that God says and does things to help us make sense of what happens to us, even in the darkness, especially in the darkness. That's why Corrie ten Boom wrote, "In darkness, God's truth shines most clear." So I'd like to share something of my journey. In October 2020, I copped a dreadful medical diagnosis. Overnight, my life shut down. After several complex surgeries and very challenging treatment, my predicament was terrifyingly real. The next 12 months were mostly spent lying in bed because, well, it was at least painful. There were times when I cried out to God, "I've had enough." With life's routine removed, I could do little more than think about how much more life was left to me and how soon death. But in that darkness, there came a kind of transfiguring. Things started changing. I was becoming more aware of God's intimacy, God's closeness. I found I had a greater desire to offer all of myself to this one who is love. My devotional life became more intense than ever. I had sacred objects like two wooden crosses that were given to me when I first went to hospital. Crosses that I began to touch throughout the day when walking past them, just to remind myself of God's love. I started using my hands when praying and making the sign of the cross when finished. I was praying for other people with more passion, especially those who I knew were dealing with their own darkness. And each day I was thanking God for yet another day. And I was feeling so grateful that I could still try to do what I've done since I was 16 years old, and that is to preach. Also revealed to me was and is the compassion and care from my wife and my friends and my church family and from those with whom I share the fellowship of suffering. They've all been angels in my wilderness. They've all been light, even in the darkness. These are some of the unexpected treasures in the darkness. Treasures that, I guess you could say, have been changing me and helping me face the music even when I didn't like the tune. And it's all because God whispers to us in our pleasures, but he shouts in our pain. And you know who said that? C.S. Lewis. So with these other Christians that I've mentioned today, I can say from my heart to yours, when your testing time arrives, you can be assured that you too, like those first disciples, can find transfiguring treasure even in the darkness. Light after darkness, gain after loss, strength after weakness, crown after cross, sweet after bitter, hope after fears, home after wandering, praise after tears. And that deserves a hallelujah and an amen.
Now.
And now a time for prayer. You know, as war escalates in parts of Europe, as military on all sides brandish weapons of death and destruction, as mothers and fathers fear for the life of their child, we now pray for peace. And as we do, we bring to mind the governments of Russia, Ukraine, Belarus, the United Nations, the European Union, in the fervent hope, in the heartfelt hope that they'll stop this warring madness and pursue every avenue for a just and peaceful resolution. And now the prayer. Dear Father, Lord of humankind, we pray that all nations will realize the insanity of armed conflict and reject all militarism and violence. Instead, find the courage to establish justice and demonstrate compassion for the oppressed. Dear Father, Lord of humankind, you hold the people of Ukraine deep in your heart. We pray that they will obtain protection in this diabolical time, immunity from brutality, from political gamesmanship, and from being used and abused. Dear Father, Lord of humankind, the Russian people are equally precious to you. We pray that they will find it in their heart to allow their neighbors the right to self-determination, and at the same time see through those whose political ambition recklessly endangers the world. And dear Father, more and more, we too want nothing to do with lording it over others. We renounce any treasonous where we pursue our own wants first and foremost, because you made us to love and you made us to respect everyone, not just those who think like us, who live under the same flag. Dear Father, Christ's example inspires us to change, and by your Spirit working in us, we will see that light even in darkness and experience a personal transfiguration. So let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with us. Amen.
Your name. Blessed be your name.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that this service has brought you hope. If you would like prayer, either press the prayer button if you're watching live or send us an email. We would love to pray for you. We continue to bring our giving to God, both financial and practical, and pray that they would be used to share God's light in the darkness. Just a reminder of the National Church Life Survey. We're really keen to hear the views of everyone who participates in church online. Email me if you have any questions or difficulties. This week, Christ be our light. Shine in our hearts, shine through the darkness. Christ be our light. Shine in your church and in our lives today. May the grace and kindness of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love and presence of God, the fellowship and friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you as you shine God's light in our world. Amen. Blessings on your week.